Thank you so much for tuning into a service with Hope Family George. We hope it inspires you and helps you with your journey with God.
Amazing, eh? Isn't it great to be a part of a church that's making a difference, not just making a noise? It was really, yesterday was absolutely incredible. But we're going to jump into the Word of God. Can I ask you to stand to your feet as we come and submit ourselves to His Word? We're going to read out of Psalm chapter 139 from verse 13 to 18. This is all the Word of God. It says, "For you have created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, you are still with me." Amazing passage. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it is true. And Lord, this morning, I pray that you would speak to us, Lord. I pray that you would give us courage and faith, Lord, to follow you, Jesus. To put our trust in you, God. To see ourselves the way that you see us. And to see our future the way that you've dreamed it could be. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you so much. You can take your seats. Really is wonderful to spend time in the Word of God and wonderful to share God's Word. And so, like what Marina shared, you know, we had the privilege of being part of Serve Day yesterday. We went to three different locations. We went to Morrison, which is a children's home, and then we went to M House, which is for people that have some mental disabilities, and then we went to the night shelter. And just actually incredible, but at the same time, you come face to face with brokenness. You come face to face with suffering. And so we've read this amazing passage that talks about how God formed us in His mother's in our mother's womb and knitted us together. I love the analogy of knitting. He knitted us together. All the days in our lives, God's written them down and He's got these plans for our lives. But yet at the same time, as amazing as that is, and God loves us and His dreams about us and He thinks about us. Yet as amazing as that is and as true it is, as it is, at the same time, there's this tension because of suffering. There's this tension because of pain. There's this tension that we wrestle with because of imperfection. Like it says in verse 13, it says, "For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." Knitted. Not manufactured, not mass produced, but knitted. Beautiful, intentional. There's something amazing about something that you take the time to do it. I absolutely love fly fishing, and I love making my own flies, which is not quite knitting, but it's... And you can go to a fly shop or fishing shop, and you can buy a fly that might cost you 14 or 15 rand. And if I make a fly, it'll take me 45 minutes an hour. It's probably not the best use of my time. But I love that. I love making it because every fly is unique and there's a story behind it. And I love that. In my office, I've got these two guitars that were made by one of our worship teams in the bush in Zambia. Not mass produced. Didn't come off an assembly line. Each one of them, and I often look at those guitars and I think about the incredible effort that went into making them. Trees that were chopped down and handcrafted without all sorts of fancy tools and made into incredible guitars. Like, wow. How much more so you and I, how God intentionally made each and every one of us uniquely. And when He made us, I love what this passage says, He made us with a plan in mind. He made us with a purpose in mind. There's a plan and an idea behind you and I making. We're not made by accident. Jeremiah one of the prophets in the Old Testament, he has this experience where with God, where this is what God says to him. It's recorded in Jeremiah chapter 1 from verse 4 to verse 8. He says, "The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." So God's coming and saying, "Hey, I knew you. I knitted you together. I made you." But then I love Jeremiah's response. He says, "Alas, sovereign Lord," he says, "I do not know how to speak. I'm too young." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid, for I am with you and I will rescue you," declares the Lord. So there's this reality that Jeremiah is dealing with, this tension. God, okay, you say you made me, but I'm not perfect. I don't have what it takes. It's almost like the stitching, when we look at ourselves, we realize that it seems like the stitching is coming undone, or is undone. Like, I know I'm not perfect. Like, maybe you think you're perfect. I hate to break it to you. People closest to you know that you're not as well. But we know that we're not perfect. But yet Bible says that God made us. So how do we deal with that? Why? How do we understand that? How do we hold that together? I love what this Jeremiah says, where God says to him, "Don't worry, I'm going to cover your imperfections. I'm going to help you where you're weak. All those things that are not quite perfect with you, I'm going to help you overcome that." So we have hope with that. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." So we're not just made by accident, we're made with a purpose in mind. God has a plan for your life and he has a purpose in mind when he made you, and each and every one of us are made uniquely with different giftings, with personality, your unique personality, your unique ability, and it's incredible. But the reality is that some of our personalities are not perfect. Sometimes it's our very personalities that prevent us from actually being effective. There's parts of us that are not good, even down to our genetic level. Yesterday at M House with some of the people that are struggling with real disabilities. Well, how do we deal with that? Some of them are living in constant pain because of those disabilities. Well, if you made people and you made them in their womb and you dreamed about them and you had all these plans for them, why are they living with pain? Where does it come from? How do we deal with these two things, these two tensions? These are real challenges. Verse 16, "Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." This is one of the most debated passages of scripture in the Bible. Some people read this verse believing that God has already decided every single thing that will happen, right down to the smallest detail, and that you and I have no choice in what will happen. Like absolute predestination. Like you don't have a choice. Like we're all actually just robots rolling towards a predetermined future, and that's what it's going to be, and that's how it is. That's not what we believe as Hope Family. And that's certainly not how we interpret this particular scripture. We also believe that that interpretation of this verse is not consistent with so many other verses are in the Bible, or with the entire story of the Bible. We do believe that God loves us. He made us with this, and he's got dreams and plans for our lives, but he gave us a free will to choose whether or not we're going to follow him. And when we look at choice and freedom and will, we've got to understand that love and free will go hand in hand. And God is a loving God. So yes, God loves you and I, but love does not control. Love does not manipulate. Love invites. Love hopes that the love that is given will be reciprocated. Like we would love him back. God won't come and force us to love him, because that's not love. God won't control us to love him, because that's not love. And so if we understand that God is in control, but at the same time, he's loving, then we got to know that he's in control, but he does not control. He's all powerful, but he does not control. And so the way that I've written this down, the way that I like to think about it is God is in control, but he does not control us like puppets. He has great plans written down before we took a breath, but those plans become our reality as we choose to submit and to follow him. Those plans become our reality as we choose to submit and to follow him. People often say, well, if God is a loving God, then why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? Because love does not control. And with free will comes the freedom to experience the consequences of decisions, good and bad. Because if there's no consequences to our decisions, good and bad, then there isn't actually free will. Free will has to be connected to the consequences of our decisions. He's going to give us a choice, good or bad, and the consequences of those choices, and if God removes the consequences of those choices, then we don't actually have free will. So in order to love us, he's got to give us a free will to choose him or not to hem him. Good decisions that will lead to a better future or decisions that will lead to a worse future. And because we are interconnected and we're related, that means that my choices, good or bad, affect other people around me. And so sometimes we experience the consequences of not just our decisions, but the consequences of other people's decisions, good or bad. And that is why, how God sets it up, because God loves us. And so God will not remove free choice from you and from your future. But he invites us to choose him. Listen to the way Deuteronomy describes it. This is God speaking to the Israelites. He says, This day I call heaven and earth as a witness against you that I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God and listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. And he will give you many years in the land he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he places before us life and death, blessings and curses. And that's the nature of God, is what he's always done and what he's done. It's the same thing that he placed before Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They had perfection. They had everything they needed, but they chose independence. Instead of following God and submitting to him, they chose, no, they want to live their own life. They want to live by their own rules. And so with that came consequences. Genesis chapter 3 talks about how because of that, sin entered the world, pain entered the world, suffering entered the world. Suffering, pain. God places before life and death, but there's suffering and pain, consequences of our decisions. And so when we think about all the pain and the suffering that's going on in the world, very real pain, very real suffering, how do we look at it? What is our approach as Christians? How do we view that? The only real way to do that is to look at the cross. To look at the cross. And when you look at the cross, what do we see? What do you see when you look at the cross? We see God on the cross. God on the cross. What is he doing on the cross? He's suffering. That's what he's doing on the cross. God is suffering on the cross. What does it say? It says that he knows suffering and pain. He knows my suffering and my pain because he can identify with it. So when we're going through suffering and pain, we don't serve a God that doesn't know. He knows in intimate, experiential detail what suffering and rejection and pain feels like. We serve a God that knows, that feels. And why did he come and do that? Not just so that he can identify with our pain, but so that he can make a way out, that he can redeem, that he can restore. Because he didn't just come and suffer on the cross, but he died, and then he was resurrected to defeat pain and suffering, to open a door so that suffering doesn't have to be my future and your future. Thank you, Lord. Yes, there is pain and there is suffering. Yes, it's because of the consequences of our own decisions. But God didn't want that pain and suffering to be in my future and your future. He wanted to give us the chance of something so much better. That's why he came and died. That's why the cross answers all of these questions and explains the why behind what we're currently going through. But it doesn't just explain the why, it tells us of hope and of a better future. Thank you, Lord. One of the most famous verses in the Bible is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, and it's a great verse. And we love the verse, but unfortunately, we often only read verse 11 and we don't read verse 12, 13, and 14. But let's read it together. It says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. It says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from the nations and the places where I've banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. It's beautiful. And what it talks about is that God has his plans. He's got these dreams that are written down before one of our days ever came into being. But the way that we experience those plans is that we have to seek him. We have to pursue him. And so the plan requires pursuit. It requires us pursuing him. And so when we look at the world, we look at pain and suffering, and we look at even your design and my design, you and I are made perfectly down to our genetics, but there's also evidence of corruption down to our genetics. He made us personalities, but there's also evidence of corruption in our personalities. There's evidence of sin in everything. And the only way for us to deal with that is to come back to him and come and put our faith in him and come and follow him. Romans chapter 8, Apostle Paul writing about this. Writing about our current situation and our current pain and how God comes to restore and how there's something so much more. And he's not just talking about us, he's actually talking about all of creation. How all of creation is experiencing the consequences of Adam and Eve's sin. Experiencing the consequences of my decisions and your decisions. I love creation. I love God's creation. But I'm pretty sure like me, you sometimes go and you can see how the world just gets messed up. Like pollution and disregard for his creation. Go to a river that was once pristine and now stinks and it smells. Because people have messed up. Humans have messed it up. People's bad decisions have messed it up. But I thank you that, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that that's not the end of the story. Not just for my life and for your life. It's actually not the end of the story for God's creation. Listen to what Romans 8, verse 18 to 23 says. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation awaits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it to, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from bondage to decay and brought to the freedom and glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning in pains of childbirth right up to this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. So it talks about how all of creation is groaning and waiting with eager expectation. What is it waiting for? It's waiting for all of this to be changed. See, when you and I give our lives to the Lord, when we pursue God, when we come to Him, God starts to do a work in my life. I think about often where I was. I love what Miranda was sharing about our church, and so grateful for this. So grateful. See, I grew up, when I was 14, my parents got divorced, and felt like my whole life, like the foundation of my life was ripped out from underneath me. And I became a very, very angry young man. Mistrust up, but built up all sorts of walls around my heart, didn't trust people, didn't want to be hurt like that again. Had my finger firmly on the self-destruct button of my life. Certainly not the best years of my life. I'm so grateful. I'm 17 years old. Somebody shared the gospel with me. I gave my life to Jesus. I came to a church like this. And my story started to change. Healing came in. Freedom came in. Those walls that had built up around my heart started to come down. Didn't change overnight. But my personality slowly started to change. The effects of sin started to dissipate. And now I stand here and I'm so grateful. Married to an amazing, amazing lady. Got two incredible sons. And I get to do what He made me to do. That's incredible. Thank you, Lord. That doesn't mean that my life is perfect. Yes, our bodies are still groaning. We're still dealing with our imperfections. But there is hope, and that hope is a, and there is change. We start to experience that heaven breaking in, eternity, God's perfection of His will and His plans for life are breaking into our lives, into our current reality, because we've given our life to Jesus. We start to experience a little bit of heaven on earth, but we're not there yet. And that's what Romans 8 is saying. He says, we're still groaning, we're still waiting with eager expectation because we're not there yet. Heaven hasn't happened yet. The restoration of everything hasn't happened yet, but one day it will happen. The same writer that wrote Romans writes this in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It's eternal. Fix our eyes on eternity. We look at the world, look at pain and suffering, look at the effects of sin, the effects of choices, bad choices. Sometimes we experience the consequences of other people's bad choices. We experience that. But that's not the end of the story. there is hope in Jesus Christ. The cross changed how the story ends. But we have to choose the cross. We have to focus on that. Yes, on this side of eternity, we can start to experience some of the effects of that. There is healing. There's restoration. There's love. But ultimately, one day, not just our physical bodies, not just your life and my life, but even the whole earth, whole Bible says, the whole world is going to be restored back to its original perfection. All the effects of pollution are going to go away. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be incredible. God loves you and I. He loves us, but He gives us a free choice. And with that free choice come the consequences of our decisions, good and bad. But in order for us to experience all that He's got for us, we have to fix our eyes on eternity, know that this world isn't everything. This world is temporary. This world is temporary. But one day, it's going to be restored to its original perfection. And we're going to experience the fullness and the perfection of what God made possible through His death and resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. But the requirement of us, of that, is that we accept Him, that we follow Him, that we submit to Him, and that we pursue Him. And then His dreams become our reality. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Can you stand with me to your feet? I think it would be appropriate for us to pray. I'm not sure where you are on your journey with God. Maybe some of you have lost the way. Maybe you're in disillusioned. Maybe your present sufferings are overwhelming you. Maybe your current struggles just seem to be dominating your view, and you can't seem to see past it. Maybe actually hurt and frustration. It's like me, it's called like I was. When I was younger, you've been building walls up around your heart. Maybe you've even thought to yourself, I never want to be hurt again. I don't want this. The truth is that when we come to Him and we allow Him, He starts to heal us. He starts to restore us. But that only comes when we submit to Him and we follow Him. And we allow Him to do what He made possible on the cross. But we've got to accept Him. We've got to choose to follow Him. And we've got to choose to pursue Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank You so much for Your word. Thank You that it is true. Sometimes we can be overwhelmed by the suffering and the pain in this world. Sometimes even what's happened to us can just dominate us, and it seems to dominate our future. But thank You that You came to set us free so that our pain and our suffering doesn't have to be the end of our story, but there can be something so much better because of what You made possible. Thank You, Jesus. While we're in this attitude of prayer, while our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you're here this morning, you need to take your first step towards God by accepting Him as your Lord and Savior. But choosing to allow His love to come into your heart and to change your story. I'd love to lead you in a very simple prayer. So while everybody's heads are bowed and their eyes are closed, if that's you, could you just quickly raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with? They say, yes, that's me. Well done, well done, well done. Well done. You can put your hands down. Everybody repeat, raise your hands if you can repeat this prayer after me, and with the rest of the congregation pray as well. Say this: Lord Jesus, please forgive me for all of my sins. Today, I give my life to You and I want to follow You, Lord. I invite You in to change me, to restore me, and to help me, God, as I follow You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Stay in touch. We'd love to hear from you. Send through your prayer requests, praise reports, or any questions you might have to 062-214-2814. That's 062-214-2814. 214-2814.